Right now it is time for the Berkshire Edge on Air. And it's when we sit down with David and Marcy from the BerkshireEdge.com. And we just take a look at some of the stories that they're following for us. And once again, the BerkshireEdge.com is where you'll find them. But on a Wednesday morning, you'll find them right here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm just fantastic.
So are you there by yourself?
No, Jill's here.
I don't hear her voice.
I'm right here.
There she is.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
There she is. She's back.
Yeah.
The last show I did, this guy couldn't hear me either. So right. Now I'm just like, why bother even talking?
All right. So anyway, well, it's nice to have you folks back on the air.
We'll start
off right off the top. The town clerk for Great Barrington for the past 12 years is getting out of town and going to West Stockbridge.
We're going to West Stockbridge.
Yeah, she's blowing our it's
pop stand.
Is this moving on up?
Ryan is her name.
Ryan.
And surprise, surprise, she's taking a job as the town administrator, which is kind of like a town manager post in West Stockbridge, just north of Great Barrington. So, it was a sort of surprise that she just announced her resignation or her future resignation, that she would be leaving shortly.
Which means that Great Barrington is left with...
It's clerkless.
It's not only clerkless, but we have a brand new town manager also.
Yep.
Who is just learning the ropes.
So you're basically missing institutional knowledge at this point?
Pardon?
You are basically missing institutional knowledge at this point.
Apparently, but I suppose.
Well, no,
Marie
Mark Pruhensky, though, the new Great Barrington's town manager, he's been in town government before, so he knows the ropes. In fact, he may know them from the inside. So
that's right.
He's going to be fine.
All right.
But there's a change to. In the management of the town, I don't think anything is really going to change too much, but we'll see.
All right. Well, speaking about not much change, 50 years of having construct around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a really lovely story. I mean, construct has just been a terrific institution in Great Barrington. And in South County, it has a headquarters in a sprawling little house in Great Barrington, and it has rooms for people who are homeless. But it also builds. It has various housing projects, and it finds residences for people who find themselves out of a home and out of a job and out of money, and they've been doing this for 50 years. It's really quite a remarkable institution.
Yeah, I mean, they not only they build homes, they maintain homes. You know, they sort of administer the homes. They provide instruction and support for the people who are living in the homes. These are not institutional homes. I mean, these are private homes that they...
They're private apartments,
Private apartments and private houses that they build for people. It's not like they institutionalize them in a home. But they build places for people to rent and live in. And they also provide social programs to help them, you know, get along in their new homes.
Yeah, last year we ran... Or earlier this year, I guess, we ran a series of stories by a woman named Rita Deschelle, who was homeless. And she explains how Construct helped her. It was really quite a remarkable story, how she came to be homeless and found Construct, which virtually kind of saved her from just living on the street.
Right.
So... It was really, every fall, they have Construct holds a walk for the homeless from Butternut Ski Area to downtown Great Barrington, and hundreds of people take part in this walk, and that's how they raise money for for Construct. So it's quite an institution. It's great.
I just never realized that they were 50 years old.
I didn't either, actually. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of things that are...
Yeah, well, that's...
We were just talking about this the other day. There are a lot of institutions that are celebrating 50 years. So I'm wondering what it was about 50 years ago that provoked and nurtured all these great institutions that we now take for granted.
Yeah, I mean, we have on our list of stories for you today, you know, something else that it's the... it's the 50th anniversary of the Red Lion Inn. Now, this is it's not the 50th anniversary of the building, but it's the 50th anniversary of the Fitzpatrick taking over the Red Lion Inn. It's the 50th,
which was a dormant inn when they took it over. It was empty.
And they, you know, and they revitalized Stockbridge as a year-round destination, not just as, you know, someplace that opened only in the summer. It's the 50th anniversary of the Norman Rockwell Museum. It's the 50th anniversary of Woodstock.
Yeah.
I think the Woodstock Festival, 50th anniversary of Construct. And I think there's another one, too.
Landing on the Moon.
So, in fact, the Norman Rockwell Museum has an exhibit from...
1969.
Yeah, from Woodstock to the Moon. Which is because 50 years ago is when the landing on the moon first took place. So there's, of course, some people would feel that Woodstock was sort of a landing on the moon. But
it was at least a moonwalk.
It was a moonwalk. It was put that way, yes. Not much gravity there.
I can't complain.
That's true.
I can't complain about that, though, because if it weren't for Woodstock, I would not have gotten my first broadcasting job, which was at WVIT Channel 30 in Hartford. I applied for a job, and there wasn't one open. And then the day later, I got a call back. The job I applied for, the guy wanted to go to Woodstock. And they fired him, so the job was open. So
they
I got
fired
the job.
Him because he wanted to go to Woodstock.
Yeah, so
long-haired hippies.
So I got the job.
Yeah, right.
Well, maybe
things work out.
What your life might have taken a whole different direction if you had been the one to go to Woodstock.
Nah,
I've got a terrible question. Maybe somebody knows the answer to this.
What?
There was big speak of 50th anniversary Woodstock commemorations. Is that still on or off? It's been up, down?
I don't know. You know, it's been... I don't think
still
it's
unclear.
Determined. It was supposed to be... it's not at Woodstock. You know, it was supposed to be at someplace near...
All right. Well, sorry I asked, but the long short is it's still unclear, right?
It's unclear. It's the same guy, Michael Lang, who tried to created and promoted the first Woodstock. He had Japanese investors who pulled out a few weeks ago, but he said at the time that he was going to go ahead anyway. But we haven't heard anything.
Well, there is going to be something at Watkins Glen celebrating the 16th, 17th, and 18th.
Glen, right.
But the other one is still up in the air. Now supposedly.
Well, that is what that's the one that's up in the air. The one at
Bethel.
Watkins Glen.
Oh no, I thought the one at Bethel was the one up in the air.
Don't
no,
you hate it when
no,
I do
no.
this? All right,
Bethel's
so.
Not up in the air, but Bethel was going to be much smaller.
Yeah, Bethel's going to have John Fogerty there and
Watkins
stuff like that.
Watkins Glen was the one that was being organized by Michael Lang, and it's I think that's still up in the air. He wants to go for it, and I think he sued the Japanese investors for, you know, and he may have gotten some kind of...
Our intention holds firm to deliver a world-class, once-in-a-lifetime festival to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Woodstock.
And from today, Woodstock 50, okay, so...
That's what it says.
Yeah, still intends to hold the concert.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Who knows if they will.
I
think the investors pulled out because there wasn't enough movement, and they didn't think it would actually happen.
Well, we'll see what happens, but... people will go there and just gather anyway. you'll get people that show up at Watkins Glen anyway to celebrate them themselves.
Yeah, but Watkins Glen is nowhere near where
Woodstock is.
Where the Woodstock Festival is, which was also not in Woodstock.
No, Bethel Woods. Yeah,
it's in Bethel Woods. But it's hours and hours from where the festival originally took place.
Well, when you have the name, I guess when you own the name, you can have it any place you want.
He held the name, right.
Yeah, you can have it in Vermont.
That's exactly right.
There is a Woodstock, Vermont.
All right. Speaking about Woodstock and getting high.
Yes, I was going to say.
It's a great lead into the cannabis culture.
The cannabis culture?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, high times in Great Barrington these days.
And the environs.
environs, right. Yes, we have, we have four, five pot shops in Great Barrington now, but we have the neighboring towns are catching on, you might say, and to this opportunity, and a new one has been approved in Lee, and then, it is quite remarkable the number of people that line up at Theory Wellness, which was the first one to open.
Well, they're still the only one open. They're still the only one open, right, in the immediate area?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So far.
Yeah, there's a steady line of people there.
It's a steady line of people.
Rain, blazing hot sun. It doesn't matter. There's a steady line there.
Yeah.
Right. It tells you something.
It's an unsteady line. I don't know, but in any case, it does seem. Is there one opening up in Lee called Canna Provisions? Love those names.
Well, there's going to be one in
Sheffield. We had an article about that, actually.
But Equinox Farm in Sheffield has been given a license to grow marijuana. What's interesting about this is that the owner of Equinox Farm, Ted Dobson, was arrested years ago for growing pot in his arugula. And I'm not kidding. He was, I think at the time, a selectman in Sheffield and had to resign his post because in his arugula he had planted a bunch of pot plants. And his arugula, by the way, is very famous. I mean, you can get it in Guido's and at the co-op.
Well, now we know why it was famous.
slightly spicy, slightly more peppery.
What?
I said slightly more peppery.
You can smoke his arugula.
It's
really good. But the state police operated a real hunt operation. They had a helicopter fly over his farm with thermal imaging cameras. And apparently the green of marijuana has a certain kind of resolution on their cameras, and so that's how they spotted it. Isn't that interesting? It was all to catch this guy growing arugula and having a few pot plants.
And there is going to be a pot shop in Sheffield, too, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, Sheffield is going to become pot central because there's Chris Weld, there's going to be a pot shop and a growing facility in Sheffield as well. So, along with the Berkshire Spirits, which Wells also owns the
distillery,
a distillery there. So, I don't know what's happening to the economy. I guess the economy in Berkshire County is becoming
on beer, distilled spirits, and pot.
Right. I guess it goes along with our recreational economy.
Yes.
I think that's what we have to say. It's no longer a tourist economy. It's a recreational economy.
But it will bring the tourists in as well.
Experience is good.
It'll bring the tourists in as well.
I think the tourists are going to come from neighboring New York State and Connecticut. All they have to do is drive across the line, and they're in paradise.
Imagine some guy in Maine look at his wife and says, "Hey, let's go on vacation this year. Let's go to Great Barrington, Massachusetts."
Yeah, and get stoned.
And we can imagine we're anywhere, right?
All right. Speaking about Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and it's the environs, the BIFF, Berkshire International Film Festival, this past weekend.
Oh, yeah. It concluded, it was a jam-packed in the town for the film festival. And we had a preview of all the films last week, but now we're running reviews of some of the films. And one of the interesting ones that we just ran this morning, actually, is a film called Ophelia, which is a reworking of Hamlet's Shakespeare, Shakespeare's Hamlet, rather, and from the point of view of Ophelia, which is the reviewer gives the film a mixed review, but says that the younger generation would really love this. So I guess we'll have to go see it and see whether he's right.
I don't know. I think I'll hold off on that and see what the critics say.
Okay. Really?
Well, he is a critic, so he's already spoken.
He's already spoken. And
it looks really interesting, actually. So I think when it comes around, you have some time, by the way, to mull this over, because it'll have to be really in general release. It'll probably come to the triplex maybe again, the XXX, as they call it, we call it.
It might even show up at the movie house. It might even show up at the movie house. Because
That's the
XXX.
Yeah.
So,
No, I'm thinking about the movie house in Millerton.
Oh, the movie house in Millerton.
Yeah, they run a lot of films like that. Yeah.
Yes, possible. Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, with that being said, we are going to move on to it. I like this. Everything is tied up in smoke here. Housatonic residents turned out and forced to object to converting abandoned paper mills into marijuana-growing greenhouses.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, yes, this is true. In Housatonic, there are looming over the center of Housatonic are these abandoned paper mills that have been there for, well, far more than 50 years. People have, over the years, have tried to find various uses for them. They have been used as a film studios for various other, and there's a printmaking operation, an artist studio in one of them. But it's really left this little village, lovely little village of Housatonic, kind of derelict with these abandoned buildings. And so one proposal is for them to be turned into, giant, I guess you could call them greenhouses. And residents of Housatonic are ironically, came out in force to object to that.
Well, here's what they should do. They can have the best of both worlds. They're abandoned paper mills, for gosh sakes. Start building roll your own papers in these paper mills.
Well, there's a thought.
it's not
a thought.
It's not marijuana. I mean, there's still a substantial amount of people that don't like to smoke out of pipes. That they like to smoke, to roll their own. So there you go. You got paper mills.
Right.
Well, that's true.
Wow.
There's an idea. I think you should propose that.
I just did there.
He thinks we should.
That's right.
Oh, he thinks we should. Oh. Well, but we're online. We're not on paper.
They're not either.
But in any case, ironically, that's another town and another aspect of this cannabis culture. It's not all wine and roses, I guess.
Well, it's interesting because it shows the conundrum that's out there. Look at New York State, where they legalized marijuana and counties are backing out of it. And Connecticut, our state legislature, has decided not to act on legalizing marijuana just yet. So it looks like Great Barrington and Sheffield will be hot spots for at least a year to come.
Well, I'm not sure that's okay. We'll see how it works out. I think it is a kind of recreational economy. I think that's an interesting way to look at what's happening in the Berkshires. You know, if you consider entertainment as recreation rather than this cannabis culture as recreation, that's what we're about.
Well, you would not. It's you're not that far off, because look at Connecticut and Massachusetts. Gambling and casinos have become part of the lexicon for make more money. And now with the sale of marijuana in Massachusetts to make more money. I mean, so it is really a user-friendly economy for something like that.
Yeah, it is. But
we'll see. We'll see. It'll be interesting a year or two down the road when we see when all these places open up to see who survives.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Because I'm wondering whether there's a market for all of them. I mean, there are four or five of them that have gotten licenses in the general Great Barrington area.
I think as long as New York and Connecticut don't legalize it, there'll be room for everybody. But the minute Connecticut and New York gets in on the act, then you'll see the shedding.
You're going to have some sort of what's the opposite of a some sort of consolidation.
There'll be instead of a fire sale, there'll be a smoke sale.
Right, you can have bidding wars.
And then you can play the movie Up in Smoke with Cheech and Chong.
By the way, speaking of humor, tonight at Simon's Rock.
No, it's not tonight. It's next week.
It is?
Yeah, it's the 13th.
No, June. Dark Meat on a Funny Mind.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. The not tonight, but this week we had an interesting play about Richard Pryor, which was given its premiere at Simon's Rock. It was a local faculty member at Simon's Rock wrote this play about Richard Pryor, and it's supposed to be just hilarious.
Is it tonight?
No, it was last night. But I wanted to mention it because it'll be produced again, and it's very funny, and it's well worth going to see.
All right. Well, these stories and more, of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, theberkshireedge.com. We will speak to you guys next week.
All right.
You betcha.
May I make one last plug to you should look for our magazine, which is out in high-traffic locations in Millerton, Salisbury, Canaan. It's called berkshirescalendar.com.
That's right. Wherever cannabis is sold.
That's right.
it's all over then, huh?
Oh,
yeah.
That's
right. And it's a great guide to the season.
Right.
So check it out.
All right. Yep. We will speak to you guys next week.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
Take
Bye.
Care.
Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air from the berkshireedge.com.